Well, here we are once again for the Cutting Edge podcast, a podcast of the Indigenous Fashion Collective. And we're all sitting around the table as the co-founders and advisory committee members for the Indigenous Fashion Collective. And today we're going to talk about what we believe the future is of the collective and Indigenous fashion as a whole. So, that's why we introduce ourselves as well. Lillian Sparks Robinson, co-founder of the Indigenous Fashion Collective.
Sarah Eagleheart, also co-founder of the Indigenous Fashion Collective.
Jamie Schultz, board member of the Advisory Council.
My name is Crystal Williams, Kishana Tribe of Louisiana. I serve as the vice chair for the tribe and also the board member.
Twyla True, co-founder, Oglala Lakota. And very happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you, Crystal, because I just realized that the four of us are all Lakota, Dakota, women of the Great Plains. And so you're welcome. <Lakota. laughs>
Nobody gets scared. It's okay.
Preference that would be the case of the cop. But happy you're here as a member of the Kishana Tribe of Louisiana. Yeah, trust me, you're going to love it here. So, and we said, you know, what are we going to call this also? We can't say Red Table Talk because that's already been taken by Jada Pinkett Smith. So this is our brown table talk, and next time it'll be the quilted table talk. But for now, you know, certainly, you know, we're regionally, we see things differently because we're all located in different places as well, right? Yeah. So what are you seeing in the Southeast, and, you know, how can we help contribute to the fashion scene there?
Well, I'm just very glad to be a part of this huge initiative. I think that it's been greatly needed. You know, I was a makeup artist and hair artist 20 years ago, so I understand the fashion industry. I understand the photo shoots. I understand the late nights and the hard work that it puts into this industry. So I'm so happy to be here and represent the Southeast region. You know, a lot of our Southeast tribes, we are very similar in some of our language, some of our ceremonies, and even some of our designs on our, you know, everyday wear. And so I think that it's a, you know, just as you said, regional, I think it's important for us to represent each of our region's designs, you know, in our, you know, in the fashion industry. You know, just like this, you know, I'm not sure, you know, I'm not familiar with this design. You know, I'm wearing a choke cherry design. And so I know that she is, you know, very well, you know, advocating for her tribe and her designs. And I am so proud to be wearing one of those works that, you know, that she made. So it's just we can elaborate and we can, you know, expand on so many designs of, you know, each of our regions. And I'm glad to be sharing that.
Excellent.
With everyone.
I just want to remark on your jacket that I was there when she debuted this at New York Fashion Week last September. Yeah. And she's also from the Great Plains. Oh, I'm just kidding.
She's pro. So.
She's pro.
Yeah.
You say,
I'm just saying. Yeah, traditional enemy of Balakota.
And now we have Jamie joining us.
Yes. So I really am appreciative of being invited to this advisory council as well. In my job with the Santa Fe Indian Market, one of my key things is actually to look at innovation, but also be very, very culturally aware of preservation and traditions. So this initiative is really exciting for me. I think it's time, and I think there's a space, and I'm really grateful that you guys are creating that and inviting us to the table. Mm-hmm.
Well, we know you have some things that are happening too with Southwest American Indian Association. Am I saying this correctly?
Yeah, it's SWIA. Okay. SWIA. SWIA. Or Santa Fe Indian Market. And it's not just the Southwest. So we represent over 250 different tribal nations. So we do have across, cultural combination in all of our arts and classifications. But I've seen a lot of innovation in fashion that's really important, because cultural representation is one of the key pieces for me as executive director that I'm very aware of, bringing that forward where there isn't an excuse left in any of these industries to not come and find out more about any of these cultures. And so that's what really excites me too, because I know as a young person, being able to see anyone's design, didn't matter what tribal affiliation, but saying, okay, that there's a Native American design out there was really powerful as a child growing up, because you didn't see it.
And it's interesting, too, because you think of the history. I mean, how long has SWAI been around? It's always interesting because you have to know the history, then you have to know the now, and we're planning for the forward and the future. I mean, how long has history, and how long has SWAI been there?
SWAI is going on its 102nd birthday.
Wow.
Yeah,
and I have
think
not been
about
there
that.
The whole time. yes, absolutely. I think we have to look back and we need to look forward, but also to learn from the past where there may have been really good-hearted intention, but it didn't work out well. So I think that's one of the biggest things, is making sure those doors and those pathways are there for our children, our youth, no matter what culture they come from.
You think about that, just 102 years, right? And then now you're talking about what we're doing with the collective that we're doing today, and just to punctuate 102 years to get to this tabletop today, very powerful.
It is. And it's, you know, we're really only talking a couple generations back, right? So, but it took those generations to get us where we are here today. So to think where we will be in the future with, you know, our grandkids, it will be more mainstream in the sense of it won't be seen only as Indigenous people. Only Native women are going to wear chokecherry. Only Native women are going to be wearing Bethany Yellow. No, no. It's open for everyone, but these are Indigenously designed for us, but can be worn for anyone.
Yeah. Absolutely. And actually should be mainstreamed. And that's like, there's no excuses left in those industries. There's people to talk to. There's organizations, just like the Indigenous Fashion Collective, that can connect the dots, not only for the Indigenous artisans and creatives, but then also to the manufacturers and the people that are seeking that, so that it's not just culturally appropriated. So I'm really excited about that. I think the excuse has been out there, oh, well, we couldn't really track it down. Well, that's not an excuse anymore.
Yes. I love that point, too, because, you know, often we're asked, or I'm asked the word inclusivity, and what does that mean? And I think, gosh, you know, that's a new word that you guys brought up. Like, I was always included. You were always included. That's what it means to me. That's what it means to us. And we're sharing that creativity. We want to teach. We want to share. We want everybody to feel invited and to understand and share in our fashion and our art and design.
Absolutely.
Appropriately.
Appropriately. Yes.
With respect, with honor, but also with understanding, right?
Correct.
The education, that's one of the things I know SWAI works on. I know the work that you do, Twyla, as well. Sarah and I, that's kind of been our life mission.
Yeah.
The education and awareness piece. You as the vice chair of your tribe, constantly having to be the spokesperson. And for me, living on the East Coast, born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland, where we don't have a federally recognized tribe, and so they don't have that relationship with the government there. And we have a great community of state recognized tribes, a few of them, but just small pockets, to say that a lot of times I'm the first Native that many people meet. And it's like this constant education that has to be done. But I always say, I'm not the spokesperson, and my tribe is in South Dakota. And there are tribes that have really strong communities here in Maryland and that I have connections with and relationships with. But it can be exhausting, right? I mean, just it's enough being a Native woman, but having to also constantly be the spokesperson and share with folks a culture. Tell me about your jacket. Tell me about your jewelry. Tell me about your earrings.
Yes. And our region is so diverse, you know, where you live. It's huge, you know, D.C., the whole region is just so diverse, so many cultures there, you know. So I think it's right, absolutely, to express ourselves in the, you know, those ways that we can say we are Indigenous, we are Native American, you know, and we are from certain tribes, you know. So I love that about this, you know, we can express our creativity out there through fashion.
And for me, it's really about the storytelling aspect, because I do feel like we do tell a story through our art, and that includes fashion. And I think for me, being in the space of, you know, I won a daytime Emmy for a virtual reality project called Crow the Legend. And that really set me on this mission to, like, you know what? Let's just make a movie about it. And then when they ask a question, we can also just point into the movie, right? So we need to be in, like, every entertainment space. And that's also why I love working with Twyla, because Twyla is also building that ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a beautiful word, which is ecosystem, which is, you know, we are symbiotically growing together, whether we realize it or not. And that in this industry is really important, because the arts industry is not only an invitation to difference in the world or the sharing of culture, but it also is an invitation to kind of reflection and self-reflection. I know that when I've been impressed by artists non-Native artists, that has shifted a mindset. So when I see that as wonder of, like Twyla would say, it's a leveling field for us all as individuals on the planet, and an invitation to know more. I think that fashion is probably one of those expressions for me personally that I would like to see more mainstream. Mm-hmm. I'd like to have that ability to pick that out, whether it's and understand those pieces or those designs from that perspective, but really for my children and my grandchildren. You know, this is the time and place that they get to not only appreciate other cultures here as Native Americans, but also be able to see that everywhere. And so it's not just these pockets of industry.
Right. And to have more to choose from right now as well, to be able to say, you know, here's an expression of who I am as a Native woman, but I want to be able to go to Res or NCAI or IGA and not see 10 women on with the same exact dress. Because I have 5 designers to choose from, or feels like that.
Yes.
So, you know, like, that's always the fear for me. Like, it doesn't, oh gosh, who else is going to be wearing this today?
Yeah.
But you know, really promoting the diverse designers that are out there so that there's we're all able to feel like there's something there representing us. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and to see the tradition and yet the modernization is a lot of fun, mixed with streetwear, mixed with business wear. It's been a lot of fun to see all of the new transitions and how it speaks to multiple generations.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what I'm excited about too, even with the upcoming Swaya Native Fashion Week that we're hosting in May of this year, is actually making those connections for the designers, because there's a lot of business relations as well as connection back to manufacturers that sometimes is pocketed and hard to find, but also that synergy of community and creating, because you see when the creatives come together, they're just start to build and they kind of play off of each other. So I'm excited that we're launching that this year as well.
Give us the dates.
Yes, it's May 2nd through the 5th, 2024 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So yeah, if you're interested, check out swaya.org.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll have to follow you then.
Yes, I look forward to seeing you too.
So tell us about some of the, what have you seen in changes? What have you seen? We've talked about 100 years, and what have you seen the last 10 years, the last 5 years?
I would say there's a lot more diversity. I mean, you know, I was afraid of the same thing sometimes about, you were a designer, but, you know, it's very limited, and, you know, a few designers. Now there are many out there, and you're supporting this. And so I think we see that evolution, right? And fashion evolves, everything evolves. So I think we're seeing more content, more creativity, more of expressing, you know, each individual has their own creativity. And so we're able to choose, you know, who we want to wear, what we want to wear, what kind of designs, what kind of, you know, structure in our blazer do we want to have fit, you know? So I think that's more options, and I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
It's been a lot of fun to see already the effect that we've had, because just pulling and having the word collective and creating a collective place, because A, they feel we as a community feel safe within our community, but then building blocks on top of that, sharing the education. We talk many times about how we want to share our knowledge, how we love celebrating the wins of each other. So we don't keep the information to ourselves. We celebrate wins and we want to uplift each other. So I think it's been most fun to see that happening the last, 3-4 years, I would say.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad too, also, that we can tell everyone that we are still here. We are still a people.
Yes.
We are still, as a collective nation within the United States, we are still here, proving our sovereignty, mm-hmm. proving our power. We are strong and we are still going to live another 100 years, mm-hmm. another 3,000 years. We are still going to be here.
Absolutely.
Right. This is our country. This is our land. We're not going
exactly.
anywhere. We're
going to be exactly.
now here proudly raising our families.
Thriving.
And sharing who we are.
Thriving.
That's right. Not surviving, but thriving.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then I think, with the Indigenous Fashion Collective, we're building our own table, which is mm-hmm. fun because we get to improvise and be innovative in what we do. And we don't have to do it the way that somebody else did it, right? And I think that's what's so exciting. To be in this moment right now.
It is. It's literally building the table as we're eating on it. You know?
Sewing, eating.
Yes, exactly. All of the things. So, but I think we're learning a lot as well. But it, mm-hmm. I think it's a testament to, who we are as Native women, that we know that we have the skills, mm-hmm. the knowledge, the ability to do this, and we don't have to wait for anyone's permission. Or mm-hmm. We can do it and design it for ourselves. And I see that with our designers mm-hmm. as well, mm-hmm. right? They have their cultural teachings and knowledge, and they're able to design for themselves and for us as well without needing the permission of mainstream society to make it mm-hmm. to be successful. Mm-hmm.
Can I also just, I want to throw a question out there because I think we're going to be getting ready to wrap up, but soon. But what was your favorite piece from the show last night? I'm going to go first.
Yes.
I definitely love the beadwork mm-hmm. from Norma Flying Horse.
Yes.
I really mm-hmm. love the integration of the traditional dancer, the yes. capes. Mm-hmm. I was like, you would normally see that on a fancy dancer or something, or a traditional dancer. Yeah.
Yeah, but the sleek Dr. Jolene Prophet.
Yes.
And
yes.
was that you, Lili?
No, it was your mom.
Was that my mom? I heard it. I saw the crowd and I saw it was coming from my table and I didn't know. I forgot to ask who it was, but yeah.
Yeah, she's a loud Lilier.
She is. Which makes it hard for me because I have mine, so mine are like, I need a practice. Yeah. Twilight, what was yours?
I got to tell you, I don't know that I had a favorite designer. Here's what I took away from last night. I am in the entertainment business. Mm-hmm. I see a lot. I hear a lot. I'm in music. Nothing beats the what you couldn't miss, or what I walked away from, is I went to my room and you have never felt the vibe and the energy until you've been to something like a fashion show, like an Indigenous fashion show. Okay. And I say that because you look at a lot of art, you look at what's entertainment, and there's a surface level. Mm-hmm. There's a depth that it goes to. Until you're in a fashion show, Indigenous or Native, there's the depth. You can't see that until you feel it, because there's a history there. And so I'm just telling you, in all the rooms that I've been in, you never walk away and you never feel what we feel when we're together in the depth of that history.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a fear piece. I have to agree with her. Twilight's, I didn't have a favorite piece, but it was the whole collaboration of the event. It's the models. Of course, they each had their own individual walk.
That was very exciting
to see, right?
Yeah.
The makeup artistry, and the hair.
Mm-hmm.
And of
all Indigenous makeup artists and hairstylists.
Yes. We're celebrating that, we're celebrating that night, and we do this all over the country. And I mean, that's the best thing that I think we could do. And but that's the best feeling.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to agree. I mean, I think what I thought was really, really powerful was the community gathering.
Yes.
You know, and just how proud even the participants, the attendees were.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was really moving.
So that was great. Right?
Yes.
It was. Yeah. There's a move. There's a walk. There's a swag.
Yes.
There is a set of confidence that was not taught or practiced. It's there.
That's
and
right.
I think that's the energy that you leave with. That's what you can't wait to share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, sir, I'm not going to leave you hanging. I have favorite
things,
too.
Finally,
let's get it. The hat, Kayla Looking Horse's model had, and it was a hat that was to the side, and it was like a hatinator. So I love fascinators, and I also wear some hats, but I love hatinators, which are like, no, like they're like hats, but they're set like fascinators.
Okay.
And it was black, and it was wool with a little bit of a, you know, top part and the wide brim, and there was beadwork on it. It was just gorgeous.
Yes.
And the model just did a beautiful job of displaying her art. So,
yes, I think it was favorite piece.
Well, I suppose if I was forced to, I couldn't pick a designer, but I would say what's a lot of fun with what we do is when you look at the men and you say, wow, when they mix in whether it's street or business, and they blend in that fashion look, that was super fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we can all agree last night's show was next level. Like you said, it's not something you would find in, you know, the New York Fashion Week. And while these are all great shows too, right, they just don't have our flair, our swag, our confidence, our beauty, and our culture. That's behind our fashion and our designers and our models and our makeup artists and the hairstylists and the production team. You know, as being part of the production team, I can tell you there's a lot of intentionality that happens. And I know the same thing happens at Swaya. And, you know, as we get ready as the Indigenous Fashion Collective, all five of us together, along with other advisory committee members, as we begin to plan our events, it's going to have that same beautiful, powerful feeling.
Yes. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yes. So, Sarah, share a little bit about what we're planning for November.
So, we are going to hold the first ever Indigenous Met Gala on November 2nd. Can I say that?
We're going to edit it.
Yeah. We can edit it later.
Well, we trademark name, then we'll share that part. But until then, we're calling this again. Like I said, when you say the Indigenous Met Gala, people know exactly what we're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when we talk about the Indigenous Fashion Collective, I like to explain it right now as it's basically an Indigenous CFDA. And people get it immediately. They're just like, oh, okay, got it. Good. So we're excited to continue to build with the Indigenous Fashion Collective. Our membership of designers and makeup artists and models, and to be able to connect them to different opportunities within the industry.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So before we go, I think we want to start a new thing, and that is
everybody gets a little nervous.
I don't know.
Oh, you're gonna make us do.
It's all intentionality as we move forward. It's working out. If you want, just share an item that you're wearing, and this is inspired by Crystal sharing her blazer that she may want to highlight or not. I could just start first. I'm wearing a necklace that my sister, Elise Sparks Jackson, made me. And it's one of my favorite necklaces because it matches almost everything that I have, almost every pair of earrings. But it also matches my traditional regalia. My buckskin dress is made in these colors as well. And so it's like a go-to for me.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm in my trouble.
I have a beautiful bracelet by Daryl D. Begay, a Swaya artist, and his technique is tufa casting. So, and it's two swallows. So, love that.
Beautiful. And I'm wearing actually diamonds by Twyla True. So, like the ring that I have on, these two bracelets were actually a gift from Twyla. Mm-hmm. And then the earrings that I have on, the little, what do you call those?
The ear cuffs.
Yeah. Even these like little ones here are Twyla's, the evil eye, like with the diamond. Got to be protected. yeah, and that's by Twyla True Fine Jewelry, our lovely co-founder over here.
Thank you. Thank you. So I'm looking around and thinking I'm also wearing Twyla True appropriately. And I have to remember, Jamie, your daughter gave me these earrings and I don't remember the designer. Beautiful. Love them. Yeah, thank you. So that's who I'm wearing today.
Yeah, I'm trying to integrate the diamond and dentellium look as well.
Yes. I have on my Twyla True diamond as well. But I've been playing with my necklace, and here we are.
You said you wanted to do pearls and what?
Pearls and beads.
Like, oh, I love that.
Pearls and things.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm wearing, of course, the chokecherry blades are, I think I'm wearing Canoe Woman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's exciting to wear. Yeah, I got these at Red's here, actually, last year. So, I'm proud to be wearing them.
Well, everyone looks so beautiful. Keep wearing your native jewelry. We're going to keep wearing our native fashions, representing. And thank you for joining us here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Until next time, this has been The Cutting Edge.